One of the key differences between Yom Tov and Shabbos is that on Yom Tov you are allowed to prepare food, even if that means cooking, for example. And we get that out of this week's parasha. In order to understand the finer details of that particular law, the Rebbe is going to take us through different angles within halacha, two different processes, two different perspectives on how this law could potentially work. We're going to examine the view of the Ramban as opposed to the view of the Alter Rebbe in his Shulchan Aruch. And in order to understand that, we'll look at the analysis of Rashi and Tosfos of a very well-known debate in the Gemara Beitza between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So let's start in our parasha. Kosova parasha. Seinu, it says in our parasha, Bekesh el Chag HaPesach, with regards to the very famous holiday of Pesach, famous in this parasha, of course, because this is when it's introduced for the first time. So it says, "Vayom Arisha Mikra Kodesh Gomer Kom Locha Lo Yeyosevohem Ach Asher Yeyochel Chol Nefesh Hu Levadoi Yeyoselochem." So the Torah tells us very clearly that on the first day of the holiday, as well as on the seventh day, these are days that are holidays, festivals, Yom Tov, and that means that one may not do any kind of work except Ach Asher Yeyochel Chol Nefesh. This is the principle called oichel nefesh, that if there's something which is required in order for you to be able to eat, that would be permitted. Hainu, sheyomtev osur basias melocha keshabbos. In other words, if you read it, it looks like the Torah is telling us, number one, there are forbidden activities on yomtev as they are on Shabbos. Prat limelocha shein letzorich oichel nefesh emutoris biyomtev, with the notable exception of those activities that are required in order to prepare food, which are permitted on yomtev. And then this idea that you may not work on Yom Tov is then repeated multiple times in the Torah. Again, when we come to the holiday of Shavuos, when we come to the holiday of Sukkot, we're going to see it at Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as well. In each of those cases, the Torah says clearly, that you may not do any activity of avoida. Now that's going to be a key word over here, because avoida implies something which is strenuous, something that takes a lot of investment of time and energy. That's what you may not do. All the other festivals say that's what you may not do on those festivals. Beloy pirish b'makosav heter asias meleches oichel nefesh. And in none of the other holidays, none of the other festivals, does the Torah tell us that it is permitted to do things to prepare food. And that's what we want to understand. Tam shinuyim elu. Why is there this distinction between Pesach that does not use the expression meleches avoida, but does tell us that we may prepare food even if it's going to take various kinds of melacha on Yom Tov, and the other festivals where it says meleches avoida and no mention of the principle of oichel nefesh that you may prepare food? Where do we start? Let's have a look at what the Ramban has to say about it. V'hinei haRamban kosev al zeh. The Ramban comments as follows. Pirush meleches avoida. The Ramban tells us that the key phrase over here is meleches avoida, activity that requires avoida, strenuous work. What that means is kol meleches sheinu letzorich oichel nefesh. So he's going to do what we call a hekesh. He's going to link up the phrase avoida in various places in the Torah, and from that come to help us to understand that meleches avoida is a category of activity, and this category of activity is anything which is not about food. So this is how it works. Kinyan shenemar, sheishes yomim ta'avoid v'asis kol melachtecha. We know that on Shabbos it says that 6 days you shall work, ta'avoid, there's the same word as avoida. Then we have another expression that says, with regards to the nature of the slavery in Egypt, uvechol avoida basodeh. So that implies that avoida is dafka, something which is exertion. And then we have an expression from Yecheskel which says, v'navadetem unizratem, which again implies that it's the kind of work that requires exertion. So therefore, the Ramban makes a landmark distinction and introduces us to a new phrase as well, which is going to be really important for our conversation. So immediately the Ramban determines that the Torah is telling us there are two classes of work. There is meleches avoida, work that requires exertion, and then there's meleches hanoa, work that provides you with personal benefit, which is effectively the preparation of food. Now we can take this, the Ramban says, and we can understand how the Torah is explaining it to us. When it talks about Pesach and it tells us that on Pesach you may not do melacha, generic, without giving us the phrase meleches avoida, work of exertion, it just says generically you may not work. Then it has to tell us, Hutzach leforesh, ach, asheye, ochel, lechol nefeshu, levadoye, aseh lochem. There the Torah has to tell us, yes, because I'm talking about generically that you may not do any work on this Yom Tov, I have to specify that there is an exclusion. You may prepare food, cooking, etc. on Yom Tov. Whereas, v'sh'ar yomim tovim, yikatzer v'yoymar, kom lecha savoyda loy sasu lesor, kom locha sheineno echel nefesh, u lohidia sheichel nefesh mutar bohem. And then once the Torah has given us this principle the first time around in the law of Pesach, then in all future references to Yom Tov, it can just simply say, don't do meleches avoida, work which requires exertion. And we'll already know that that means we are allowed to do work that is required to prepare food. The Ramban continues, v'lo ye'omer akosuv lo'inam be'echad mikol shar yom tovim kol milocha. In none of the other Yom Tovs do we find the same expression we find with Pesach, kol milocha, the generic, no work at all may be done. And neither do we find in any of the other festivals that it has to specify that you're allowed to do melachos in order to prepare food, because the term meleches avoida has that covered. Meleches avoida is a specific kind of work. It is work that is not for your personal benefit and that requires some kind of exertion. And there you go, it is solved. And the Ramban wraps it up by reminding us that because in the context of Pesach, the Torah said kol melocha, which sounds like a very generic term, that's why in that particular case it had to say except that which you're doing to prepare for food. Okay, so the Ramban has told us something really valuable. There's a distinction between meleches avoida, exertive work, and meleches hana, pleasurable work. Okay. So as far as the Ramban is concerned, it's actually very neat. The Torah only prohibited exertion type work on Yom Tov. And that automatically tells us that there is no reason why you may not prepare food, because that is not meleches avoida. In other words, the Ramban is saying that the way the laws of Yom Tov were presented to us in the first place is that there's a category of forbidden work, meleches avoida, and there's a category of permitted work, meleches hana'a. In other words, right from the get-go, food preparation is allowed. Now that's going to lead us into expressing or exploring that there are two different potential ways of explaining why we are allowed to prepare food, to cook food on Yom Tov. There are potentially two ways in which we could explain how come it is that I'm allowed to cook food on Yom Tov, which I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos. Possibility number one, Aleph. We could say that gam melocha yisoichel nefesh asuris mitzad atzmom, shayim b'chal kol melocha lo ye'aseh bohem. The one approach we could take is the Torah made a generic statement, no work may be done on Yom Tov. That's in our parasha this week, which includes cooking or shechting or whatever other food preparation may be a melocha. Ah, keshen nasois. Letzorech oichel nefesh. Except that the Torah allows us to celebrate on Yom Tov, that includes having fresh food on your table. Therefore, the Torah now goes and introduces a new clause which says all activities, the full 39 activities that are forbidden on Shabbos, are forbidden on Yom Tov. Except that when it comes to food, because food on Yom Tov is a big deal, we will allow you these particular activities, this range of activities, for the sake of preparing food on Yom Tov. That's one possibility. The other possibility, the second possibility, which seems to be very much what the Ramban just told us, that the Torah wanted us to know that when the laws of forbidden activities on Yom Tov were introduced in the first place, any activity required for the preparation of food was never forbidden in the first place. Not like the first opinion and says, technically it's forbidden, but we'll allow it because you need to eat. The second view says they were never forbidden in the first place. V'hakosuv, ach, asher ye'ochel l'chol nefesh hu levadoy ye'oseh lochem. And when you see the pasuk, which we've examined in our parasha, that says, "But that which is for the preparation of food, that alone may you do on Yom Tov." That is a clarification of kol melacha. So in the context of Yom Tov, you have an overarching law which says kol melacha, you may not do work. And then there's a clarification. Work, in the context of Yom Tov, never included preparation of food. Okay? So that's how the Ramban would look at it. And that's a possible shita, possible view of how it works. Now, this is quite an important point, so bear it in mind, because it will come up again later. If we take this view, then we're saying that when the Torah tells us, but food preparation is allowed, that means it's a simen. Food preparation is a way you can identify permitted activities on Yom Tov. So there are forbidden activities on Yom Tov, and then there are permitted activities on Yom Tov. And they are identified as being part of the process of how you prepare food. Now that's going to have a practical application in halacha. I just want to, before we talk about the practical application, it's quite important to note that in the ha'ara at the bottom, the Rebbe tells us a few interesting things. Firstly, he tells us that this idea of a simen, the idea that Rak asheye ochel l'chol nefesh, that which is permitted to eat, is the sign that that is therefore a permitted activity. It's brought in the Shita Mekubetzes as well. But then he quotes the Rosh in the name of the Maram Mirotenburg, who says, and this is very important for the understanding of this particular view, that when it comes to oichel nefesh, those activities required to prepare food, they are to be treated on Yom Tov as if it were a weekday. That's a very powerful statement, and it will have a lot of impact on how we understand this going further. Okay, but this will have a practical application for us. Hamisana bi Yom Tov. Let's say that a person is fasting on Yom Tov. Now, we can debate whether you are or are not permitted to fast on Yom Tov. Let's say somebody had a bad dream, and so now he's doing a tiny scholem, he's fasting on Yom Tov. So, im mutter midereis b'mlechus eichel nefesh. Is such an individual allowed to cook? Because the wording in the pasuk sounds like that which you're going to eat, you can prepare. But he's not eating. He's not going to eat today. So is he allowed to cook a meal on Yom Tov? So la'asvar dem loch say la'asurus mitzad atzmam. Elo shehutru mitam shein tzorich eichel nefesh. I'm moving shehet ha'zeiner el b'misho eichel b'yom Tov. If we go with the first view, where the first view says all 39 melachos of Shabbos are also forbidden on Yom Tov unless you have to eat, in which case those things for preparing food are allowed, well, this guy is not going to eat. So he would not be allowed to do those activities. Seeing as this individual does not have the need or benefit of eating on Yom Tov, he only has the restrictions against all 39 laws of Shabbos, including cooking. Whereas if we take a different perspective and we say, like the second view, these laws were never forbidden on Yom Tov. They were never forbidden. They were always, this is how Yom Tov works, that they were always permissible activities on Yom Tov. Well, then this guy, it doesn't matter if he's personally going to eat or not. There is no, in the, again, the language of the Maharami Rottenberg, it's like a chol, it's like a weekday. It doesn't matter who you're cooking for on a weekday, you're allowed to cook. By the way, halacha l'maisa, if you look both in the Ramah and the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, it is clear that a person who's fasting may not cook for other people on Yom Tov. But our question over here is whether that's a dirabbanon. In other words, the Torah would allow you to, but the Rabbanon chose to be machmir and to put a gzeira and to put a buffer and not allow you to cook for somebody else if you cannot eat. Or is it actually in the Torah? And that would depend on which of these two views we go with. So to better understand that, we're going to go to the famous debate, very well-known debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about a principle called mitoich. In other words, the principle mitoich works like this. Seeing as something is permitted in these circumstances, we can extend it and say it should also be permitted in different circumstances. Is that a valid argument or not? So maybe that's a little bit abstract. Let's look at how it actually works. It would appear that the debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai reflects these two views of whether cooking on Yom Tov is something which is only excused for the sake of you got to eat, or whether it is something that is fundamentally permitted. So perhaps that's the same argument between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. What happens? Beis Shammai yomrim ein mitzin le'sakadon chulei l'rishusa rabim u'Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Shammai says that on Yom Tov you may not carry a child out into a public domain, or for that matter a lulav if it's Yom Tov, or for that matter a sefer Torah. And Beis Hillel says you can. What's the debate? A mafarish b'gemara de pligi i'amrinon mitoich shuter letzayrach eichal nefesh shuter nami shaloi letzayrach. The debate, the gemara explains, is this concept of mitoich. According to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says, seeing as the Torah allows me to carry for the sake of food, let's say I have to go get food, right? Because I'm allowed to do things that are directly related to food on Yom Tov. So let's say I have to go get fresh bread from the local oven. Let's say they had a communal oven, as was common in those days. So I've got to go to the communal oven, and let's just say that that requires me carrying something in a public domain. I'm allowed to do that for the sake of food. So once the Torah allows me to do these activities for the sake of food, I'm also allowed to do the same activity, even if it's not for the sake of food, like to take my lulav to shul. Beis Shammai says no such thing. The Torah permitted you to do things for food. It's only if there's a direct need for cooking or producing food that you would be allowed to do those activities. Carrying your child or taking your lulav has nothing to do with food and therefore would be forbidden on Yom Tov. That's how the Gemara explains it. Now that seems to tie in with the two possible attitudes that we have presented of how come it is that you're allowed to do activities for food which ordinarily should be forbidden. But pashtus yesh leforish. The Beis Hillel savri debach asher yochel lochan nefesh hufkum lochis oichel nefesh meged yusami kora volochein mutores en gam kshein letzoyach eichel nefesh. It would seem that Beis Hillel goes with the second view that we took. Once the Torah told me that I'm, for example, allowed to carry food from domain A to domain B on Yom Tov, it means that carrying on Yom Tov is a permitted activity. It's not excused for the sake of food. It's permitted 100%. Beis Shammai Sovri, de asher yeochel lechol nefesh hu ta'am lehatir melochos elu. Whereas Beis Shammai would say, no, not at all. Beis Shammai would say that these are forbidden activities. Carrying something in a public domain on Yom Tov is forbidden, except that the Torah excuses and allows it if the thing you're carrying is necessary to feed people. And therefore, the Beis Shammai attitude would be quite simple. The Torah only gave you the special permission if it's directly related to food. Any other activity that might be the same movements you're carrying from domain A to domain B through a public area, same movements. But if it's not for the sake of food, Beis Shammai says, verboten, nothing to discuss. All right. So they would also, by the way, you could be medayek that Beis Shammai picks up on the language of the Mishnah, or they use the language of the Mishnah. They say ein. I mean, it's a generic statement in the Mishnah, but they pick up on the language that says ein bein Yom Tov leShabbos. There is no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Ela oichel nefesh bilvad, except for activities relating to food. Bilvad alone, the Beis Shammai would pick up on that. They'd say, bilvad means, you see, only those specific activities, if directly related to food production, are allowed. If those same activities are for any other purpose, not allowed. Now, once we look at the Alter Rebbe, so far it's all pretty neat and clean. We said there are two choices. Either you believe that these activities are forbidden on Yom Tov, but excused for the purpose of food, which sounds like Beis Shammai, or you believe that these activities are allowed on Yom Tov from the get-go, regardless of whether they're actually for food or any other purpose. Once we've allowed the activity, we've allowed it, so you can light a fire to warm yourself, because you're allowed to, well, not light it from nothing, you'd have to light from existing flame, but once you're allowed to light from an existing flame for food, you could light to warm yourself, or to light your house, or whatever the case is. So that would be like Beis Hillel, and essentially like the Ramban seems to have said. The problem starts when we look at the opinion of the Alter Rebbe in his Shulchan Aruch, because the Alter Rebbe seems to vacillate between both opinions, which clearly is not the case. Alter Rebbe is always crystal clear, so straight away we have to ask ourselves what's going on over here. Murah Zokim B'Shulchan Kesev, Rishon Ushvi Shal Pesach V'Chag HaShavuz Chulei, Heinani Kroim Yom Tevim. The Alter Rebbe writes in his Shulchan Aruch that the various special dates on the calendar are called Yom Tov. Any person who does work the expression over here is meleches avoidus, that's work which we, according to the Ramban, implies that there's exertion. So somebody who does that has violated the Torah and deserves lashes. Umahu meleches avoidus, what is the definition of meleches avoidus? Any activity which is not directly related to food or drink. But activities which are directly related to food or drink, they are called melech seichel nefesh. So up until this point, what has the Alter Rebbe told us? That there's a category, sounds like the Ramban, right? There's a category of work called melech avoida, which is forbidden. There's a category of work called food-related work, which is permitted. And then the Alter Rebbe said something which seems to upend that. These activities relating to food, the Torah excused and permitted, as the Pasuk says. Now, when you look at the first wording of the Alter Rebbe, he says that the definition of meleches avoida is any work not related to food or drink. At that point, if you would pause right there, it would sound like the Alter Rebbe was saying exactly the same thing as the Ramban, namely that meleches avoida is forbidden, meleches hana'a is permitted. That if it's exertion, it's not allowed, and if it's for your personal benefit, like food and drink, then it is allowed and was never forbidden in the first place. Sounds exactly like the Ramban. But then the Alter Rebbe continues to say that the Torah excused and permitted these activities for the purpose of food. That sounds like there it sounds like the Alter Rebbe is actually saying that these behaviors, these activities, are actually forbidden under normal circumstances, but excused should you need to produce food. In other words, it sounds like the fact that you need to produce food becomes the motivation why these activities should now be excused, which makes it sound like the Alter Rebbe self-contradicts. The first part of the Alter Rebbe statement sounds very much like the view that the activities associated with food preparation were never forbidden on Yom Tov, exactly like the Ramban said. And the latter part of the Alter Rebbe statement sounds like he's saying the opposite, the other view, that they are fundamentally prohibited, but for the purpose of oichel nefesh, in order to allow you to eat, we will permit them. Okay, so in order to understand this, we're going to have to go back to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai and re-examine the motivation between their two views. We'll explain it in one way, and then we'll explain it in another way, and that's going to be based on the commentary of Rashi and Tosfos on what Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai have to say. So you've got to kind of hold cop over here. We've got to now distinguish between Rashi's view of Beis Hillel and Tosfos' view of Beis Hillel. Yes, of course we're going to discuss Beis Shammai as well. But remember that we're going to conclude at the end that we do believe mitoich, that once you're allowed to do these activities for the sake of food, you're allowed to also do them for other reasons as well. The question is, how far wide does that go? And of course, depending on whether we believe that these activities are only excused for the purpose of food, or we believe that these activities were never forbidden in the first place, that's going to make a big difference to how we understand the views of Rashi and Tosfos on Beis Hillel's opinion specifically. Okay, so let's have a look at Beis Hillel. Now, when we get to this point where Beis Hillel made the comment, once an activity has been permitted for the purpose of food, it extends to be permitted also for other purposes not food-related. So, pligi Rashi v'Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos have different views of what exactly that means. Rashi meforish, shehutra amlocha gam im eino letzorech klal, hanyo shemidereisem oteres amlocha legamre v'rak mederabonen tzorech liyos tzorech ketzas. Rashi's view is, once the Torah said you may cook on Yom Tov, it means you may heat anything for any purpose as long as it has a purpose. heat, light, scaring off a wild animal, who knows what. So there are bonon, according to Rashi, are the ones who require you to have some kind of purpose. But as far as the Torah is concerned, it's open season. It's, like the Maharam said, choil. It's as good as a weekday. That's Rashi's view. Whereas the Tosfos view is, no. The Torah never totally neutralized the prohibition of these activities. The Torah allows you to do these things on Yom Tov, provided there is a need for them. There has to be a need. Again, Rashi says that Hillel's view is, once the Torah allowed it, it allowed it across the board. Later the rabbi said, okay, be careful, have an intention. Tosfos believes that when Beis Hillel said, mitoich shehutra, it means that once the Torah allowed you to cook, to light a fire for the purpose of cooking, again from an existing flame, for the purpose of cooking, it now allows you to ignite a fire for the purpose of something purposeful. That's a Torah requirement, according to Tosfos. Now, v'hine al-piyam v'uliyel, d'beisilu savrin amlochus eichu nefesh lo'nichul menachatchila b'chal le'isur, mo'venes heitav svoras rashi, d'muntaris midirai, z'gai mimena l'tzorech klal. Now, if we go back to our original opinion was that there are two possible views. The one possible view is that the Torah never forbade these activities. And we believe that Beis Hillel takes that view. Well, then Rashi makes perfect sense. Because then Rashi is saying, you see, the Torah never forbade these activities. So as far as the Torah is concerned, these particular activities, cooking, carrying, whatever they might be, are permitted across the board for a purposeful reason or not. But now we have to understand Tosfos' view, and that's why we're going to take one angle on Tosfos and then a different angle on Tosfos. Firstly, darin lechayra iyef shalom edat Tosfos pliga al Rashi, the sovri b'das beis hilal shetzorich hanefesh otam la'atir melochis elu. Let's be clear about one thing. While there is a debate between Rashi and Tosfos, that debate is not that Tosfos suggests that beis hilal believes really you should not be allowed to cook on Yom Tov, but the Torah allows it for the sake of food. Even Tosfos does not believe that's beis hilal's view. Because Tosfos said that you're allowed to heat something up on Yom Tov if there's any purposeful need for it. Now, if it were true that Tosfos believed, like the first view we introduced right at the beginning, which is that the Torah does not allow these activities on Yom Tov, but for the purpose of food it would be allowed, well then it's clear it's only for the purpose of food. The fact that Tosfos allows the possibility of another purpose shows you that Tosfos must agree that fundamentally Beis Hillel believes these activities were never forbidden on Yom Tov in the first place. You have to say that Tosfos agrees with Rashi to the point that Beis Hillel believes the activities associated with food were never forbidden in the first place. Now that raises a question for us. If that's the case, Tosfos' view doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't make any sense. If Tosfos does believe, and we've proven that it has to be the case, so if Tosfos does believe that the view of Beis Hillel is that the activities associated with food preparation were never forbidden on Yom Tov, then why does Tosfos insist that the Torah needs me to have some purpose to the activity for it to be permitted? Why? It is permitted across the board. In other words, during the week, right? During the week, am I permitted to take a stroll? Yes. Do I have to have a purpose to that stroll? No. There's nothing in the Torah that says, you may not go for an afternoon stroll. I'm allowed to do it. Why? Because it's permitted. If it's permitted, I don't have to justify it. I don't have to explain why I need to do it. So by the same token, if, like the Tosfos believes, Beis Hillel holds, the Torah permitted me to cook on Yom Tov, then that's it. I'm permitted. I don't have to justify it. I don't have to say, maybe I'm going to have guests later, or maybe I want to make sure that the food doesn't go off and it will last better if it's cooked. I don't have to justify it. If it's permitted, it's permitted. So why then does Tosfos insist that the Torah believes it has to have tzorech ktsas, some kind of meaning, some kind of purpose? Why? So, so perhaps one way that we could explain it would be as follows. That the argument between Rashi and Tosfos hinges on this. We already saw earlier that the Ramban believes that there are two different categories of work identified in Yom Tov. One kind of activity is called Meleches Avoida, that means that it requires exertion and it is forbidden across the board. The other kind, the other class of work is called Meleches Hana'ah, something that suits you, it's got benefit to you, and that's permitted across the board. Well, the Rashi appears to svar as Zedim Lachas L'Tzorich Eichon Nefesh Heim Be'etzem Sug Miyuchad Shemohusan Meleches Hana'ah Heine She'enon Zekukos L'Chavon Esodim Vassir Sam Lachas Kibichdei Lahofchon Im Meleches Hana'ah So, now let's plug Rashi's view into what the Ramban has taught us as a universal principle, that there are two classes of work. So, Rashi's view is that class of work called Melachis Hana'ah, work activities which are done for personal benefit, which typically are food-related activities. In other words, they are normally used for food, but I may be using them for something else. So carrying bread from the bakery or from the communal oven back to my house. Now the activity is carrying. So that activity doesn't need, according to Rashi, doesn't need me to give it the value of Meleches Hana'ah. Carrying is now in the category of permitted activities because people carry things for their own benefit. What I choose to carry is now irrelevant. My state of mind, my intention is irrelevant because this activity has been classed in the group of Meleches Hana'ah, which is permitted. Rashi's view is anything which is classed as Meleches Hana'ah, an activity that can produce personal benefit to me for eating and drinking. So whether that is cooking, shechting, carrying, etc., those activities are now green light activities, no matter my personal motivation. That's Rashi's view. That's Rashi's understanding of the Beis Hillel. And that's effectively how Rashi would explain the Ramban's view. As opposed to Tosfos. V'tasa Tosfos. Gam lochoi seichel nefesh einon shoynois bim mehusim misha'ar melochois. There is no fundamental divide between those kind of activities which are avoida exertion and absolutely no go in Yom Tov, and those kind of activities which are hana'ah for personal benefit and are fundamentally good and allowed on Yom Tov. Tosfos says that's not how the divide works. Ella rather, beim nasis l'tzorech hana'as adam beYom Tov tzorech echol nefesh tzorech acher shul hana'as hayoyim. Oh, zeinu bichlal lo isur demlechs avoida. Tosfos looks at it and says the way it works is the moment an activity has a personal benefit to you, then it goes into the category of permitted activities. See the difference? Rashi says, if this kind of activity has a way in which it could service Meleches Hana'ah, so boiling up a pot of water could be because I want to cook. If that's the case, boiling a pot of water is always acceptable, even if you're just boiling water because you enjoy the sound of bubbling water. Tosfos says that's not how it works. I have to assign the value to the activity. I have to show that the activity benefits me, then it becomes a Meleches Hana'ah, which is permitted on Yom Tov. Aber kshein l'tzorich hayom. Meleches avoido ha'asuris b'yom tov. V'lochein sabri Tosfos. So therefore, as far as Tosfos is concerned, if I don't have a direct benefit from this activity now, then this activity is forbidden on Yom Tov. There is no such thing as classes of activity that are automatically green-lighted. It's not how it works. I have to assign the value. Or to put it into different words, b'sigran acher k'tzas. And another angle of how to express the same principle. Rashi sover, d'be'ach asher yochel l'chol nefesh yaseh lechem ha'higdira ha'torim meloch yaseh l'kesug b'fnei atzmo melech sano mitzad atzmo v'guf pu'ulosam. Rashi reads in the words, but that which is for the sake of food, you may do. Rashi reads that as the Torah saying, here is a list of permitted activities, end of story. We don't have to examine any further. The Torah has permitted these activities on Yom Tov. V'toizvus savri, d'be'acha she'yochel yaseh lechem higdira ha'torim meloch yaseh lo lefi matarosam ve'kavonas asiyoson she'keh she'nasois le'tzorech ha'noas ha'odam harim meloch yaseh no u'milech tachzilo nichlu b'chlam meloch yaseh avoida. Toisus reads it differently. He says, "Ach asher ye'ochel lochol nefesh." The Torah is telling you, you need to have an intention for personal benefit. Once you have that intention, once there is an activity that stands to benefit you, then fine, then it's absolutely permitted. But you have to create that need. You have to create that value. If you don't create the value, there is no special exclusion. There is no permission. That means that Tosfos believes that even from the perspective of Beis Hillel, the Torah only gave us oichel nefesh as a sign, as an indicator, how you know when an activity becomes permitted. It is not intrinsically permitted. Now that only really makes us go back to the Alter Rebbe and ask the question even more sharply. The Alter Rebbe started off by saying that there's a distinction between meleches avoida and melacha of food, which sounds like there are two categories of work. One category forbidden, one category permitted. Kind of like Rashi says, in the opinion of Beis Hillel. And then the Alter Rebbe goes off to say, except, right, there's an exception, the Shehat Torah Hitira, the Torah allowed them, which that means to say that you need the indication of it being associated with personal benefit like food in order to be permitted. So at this point in time, the way that we have examined the view of Rashi, but more importantly, the view of Tosfos, has accentuated our apparent contradiction between the Alter Rebbe's two views. On the one hand, completely permitted. On the other hand, completely dependent on being assigned a value of being for personal use before it could be permitted. So we need another approach, another perspective. Ulam efshe levoi bisforas ha-Tosfos, דגם ביסילל סוברי דאיכל נפש הביתם להתיר מלוך ישאלו האסורויס מצד עצמם. And this is going to be the key to understanding the Alter Rebbe. We could take a different view. We've taken it for granted that Tosfos believes that Beis Hillel's view is, I have to assign the value and only then does the activity become permitted. May not be true. May be possible that Tosfos believes that these kinds of activities, let's go back again and read it. The Gam Beis Hillel Savri, that even Beis Hillel agreed, the Oichel Nefesh, that the fact that something is for the purpose of food, Havetam Lahatir Melochois Elu Ha'asurois Mitzad Atzmon, that in itself, not my intention, that in itself is reason to permit these activities on Yom Tov. Ela Sheboifen Ahetas Firlo LeBeis Hillel Sheena Kabona Shelotzeich Oichel Nefesh Nidche Ha'isur Bimlochois Elu. Here's the point that's going to revolutionize how we understand Tosfos. Except, what is the new way we're looking at Tosfos is that Tosfos looks at Beis Hillel's opinion and says this. This is how it works. There are particular activities which are forbidden. These activities become permitted when they are activities of oichel nefesh, not because my need to eat or my need to enjoy Yom Tov is so powerful that it can temporarily suspend these forbidden activities. That was the first way we understood the the possible heter of cooking, etc. on Yom Tov. We said these are activities that are forbidden, but excused for the need. I have a need. I've got to eat on Yom Tov. Comes along the Rebbe and says, you could look through the eyes of Tosfos and see that what Tosfos is saying, here are activities which should be forbidden. However, Beis Hillel comes along to tell us that once they are associated with Oichel Nefesh, it's not that the need for food overrides the prohibition against these activities, but rather they become completely permissible activities now. And a great example of this would be that we don't see a requirement that once the Torah allows me to do an activity on Yom Tov, I have to make sure that I'm only doing just enough to make it through Yom Tov. So to cook just enough food that there should be no leftovers, which some Jewish mothers would say is a sin. Or the example it brings in the Hara is that if you shecht, let's say I need a kazayas of meat, but there's only one way to shecht an animal, and that's to shecht the entire animal. So if the purpose of allowing these activities is only because I have a need, I should only be allowed to do what I need. That's not the halacha in practice. The halacha in practice is a person goes and shechts an entire animal for the one kazayas meat that he needs. Why? Because once something is permitted for eichel nefesh, it is permitted in ganzen. Sorry, it's not in the Oretz. Yeah, in the Pnim. The Mekayim Shesh Malvechus say, "Eis the Tzorich Shalich Nefesh Harim Uteres LeGamre Gamre Mechel Chel Kavah Filu Ruba Einam Tzorich Zeh." And that's why you are allowed to do an activity on Yom Tov that is way beyond the need that you will have on Yom Tov, because it is mutter. It's not suspended. These activities are not suspended to allow you your needs of Yom Tov. This activity is now fully 100% permitted on Yom Tov. Vezeh yesh lasbir gam shitas Beis Hillel shehitira haTorah melachiseinu gam letzar tzorchei hanoah. And now, based on that, we can expand and understand how come it is that Beis Hillel believes that once the Torah allows me to carry food from point A to B on Yom Tov, it also allows me to carry a child and a sefer Torah and a lulav. You see the thinking? Again, I need a kazayas of meat. And what am I doing? Shechting a whole animal for that kazayas. What do you see the Torah has done? The Torah has allowed me a huge quantity of activity to satisfy a small quantity of need. That's the thinking. The Torah permits a huge quantity of activity to satisfy a small quantity of need. Vahabir, let's understand it. Melochei seder shehutra, afim moisenois nishar tzorchei anos ha'adam, v'loi letzorchei chol nefesh, yes, but inside Hashovel im Lochus to Tzorich Echel Nefesh, Shekulon Tzorich Ha'odam. How does it work? Let's say that I say the Torah allows me to carry food from point A. I have a friend who made a meal and I'm bringing it home for Yom Tov because I need a meal. So I'm allowed to carry from point A to point B, even through a public domain. Now we're saying anything else that has a Tzad Hashovel, that has a common denominator, what's the common denominator? I have a need, is permitted. So I have a need to get my lulav to shul. And I have to cross the main road, and it's a Rishus HaRabim, let's just say. Well, the common denominator is, if I was allowed something for a small need, we allow me a greater amount for greater needs too, right? At one kazayis of meat, I can check the whole animal. One need, which is people need food and they have to carry it, we expand the need of carrying for any need, anything that a person needs for themselves. And therefore, basically, the principle works as follows. We have seen that the Torah allows me a large amount of something for a small amount of need, a whole animal to be shechted for a small piece of kazayas that I need to feed myself. Same logic, except now we're going to move it from kamus to eichus. So the Torah allows me a whole lot of animal for a little bit of meat. Likewise, the Torah allows me a whole range of activities for certain food-related activities. In simple English, once the Torah says that this activity, this little kazayas of activity, carrying food from my friend to my home, is permitted, it opens up a whole animal of activity, all carrying, that is, for personal use, is permitted. So, Pirush Divrei Beis Hillel. This is actually the view of Beis Hillel. Mitoich shehutro letzorech. Once the Torah has allowed me something for my own purposes, it has allowed me to do it even if it's not for the purpose of food. Once the Torah permitted a particular activity, fundamentally permitted it to allow me to eat, the Torah expands that same permission to a whole range of activities that are beyond the immediate need that I have. I need food. To get food, I have to carry. I'm allowed to carry anything I need. I need food, so I have to boil up water in order to be able to cook food, so I can expand boiling water for any need that I have to whatever, sterilize equipment, whatever it is I'm going to do. Bein shehu, by the way, don't paskin from that. Sterilizing equipment might be an issue for other reasons. Bein shehu miktas mehatzorich teichel nefesh mamash, bein shehu tzorich asher yesh b'tzad hashav, miktas b'teichel noichas mehatzorich teichel nefesh, whether the connection between this activity that is now permitted is that it's somehow food related or just personal need related. That's the point. Velochen sovri atesu v'tas v'sil dehutu rak boifin shech tzorich k'tzas shel hayoim. We now understand Tosfos's insistence that the Torah says, Beis Hillel believes that the Torah says that yes, you are allowed to do these activities, but only if they have a personal benefit to you, because personal benefit is what makes it alike to preparing food. Now that we understand, based on the view of Tosfos, that even Beis Hillel believes not that these are work categories of work, types of activity that are absolutely across the board permitted, but rather that the Torah says they're not really permitted, but we'll allow them for you for the purpose of food and by extension other personal needs that you have. Then we can suggest that the Alter Rebbe has the same view as Tosfos. And based on that, we can then really reconcile what appeared to us to be a terrible contradiction in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. It's actually all glatt, smooth, makes tremendous sense now. In order to understand it, let's just introduce one principle. Question on the language of our parasha. Why does the Torah say the generic term, all work is forbidden, and then have to explain excluding work which relates to food? Why don't we just say, and this is effectively a question on the Ramban as well, why doesn't the Torah just say in this week's parasha, don't do meleches avoida? And we'll know, meleches avoida is a particular category. It's a category of work that requires exertion and doesn't have personal benefit to me. And that implies that all kinds of work which are for my benefit are permitted. Why did the Torah make it so complicated? Keep it simple. Well, there's a reason for it. And a reason that the Alter Rebbe very deftly explains by using the particular wording that he did in his explanation and the particular quotations from the Psukim and the order in which he quoted them. Vahabir. Isur asiyas melacha b'yamtem niska l'rishayna b'parasha seinu. The very first time we encounter the concept that you may not work on Yom Tov is in this week's parasha. Therefore, the Torah was very specific. Because this is the first time we're being introduced to the principle that you may not work on Yom Tov, we need a really clear definition of what constitutes work. Had the Torah in this week's parasha said Melechas Avoida, we would have, according to what we've seen now from Tosfos and clearly the opinion of the Alter Rebbe, we would have thought that that means that Oichel Nefesh is 100% permitted, like the Ramban wanted to suggest. But the Torah doesn't do that. The Torah gives us a catch-all phrase. Kol meleches avoida lo isasu. Now we know the klal, now we know the general principle. You may not do the 39 types of work on Yom Tov. or moisef, to which the Torah adds, ach, asher yochel yaseh lochem, except there is this exception in the case of preparation of food. That makes it clear that the Torah wants us to know these are not intrinsically permitted activities on Yom Tov. All the 39 melachos are asur, are forbidden on Yom Tov. This is something which is especially permitted mita'am shehein l'tzorich achilas adam, because people have a need. And then later on, later on in other places where the Torah talks about Yom Tov, particularly in Parashas Emor, it doesn't have to go through the whole lengthy process again, because now it can just simply tell us, and we'll know that that means that the types of work which are not associated with food, they are forbidden. And when we come to those later parashas and we read the words Melechas Avoda, we won't ever make the mistake of saying, oh, Melechas Avoda is absolutely forbidden and Melechas Seichel Nefesh is absolutely permitted. We don't have that problem because it's already been clarified for us over here, not like the Ramban wanted to suggest, but rather to say that all activities are forbidden on Yom Tov, and there's a special exclusion for Oichel Nefesh. Vine, B'shulchan Aruch maybe is Asiyas Melacha B'chol HaChagim, ולכן מי והקוסר שבכל החגים על כל האויסים מלאכס עבוד, הרי זה לא יקשנם כמו מלאכס עבוד אליססו. In the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, he's not addressing just Pesach, he's addressing all of the Yomim Tovim, and therefore he quotes a pasuk which is the most common through all the Yomim Tovim, which is Melaches Avoda. And he explains that any person who works on Yom Tov deserves lashes. Then Umoisif Levayr. So that's how he starts. He starts first by quoting the most commonly used phrase for all the Yomim Tovim, and then he explains Umoisif Levayr. Umau Melechas Avoda. What is the meaning of Melechas Avoda? Kol Melachas Ein Anasas Beichel Mashke. Melechas Avoda means activities which do not involve preparation of food or drink. I know. But Pasuk Zeina Medubar Melegem Melechas Avoda. Meaning that in that particular pasuk that says Melechas Avoda, in that particular, those particular psukim, it's referring specifically to those kinds of activities to tell us that they are forbidden under all circumstances. Once the Alter Rebbe has made the distinction that Melechas Avoda is always forbidden, but there is an exclusion that you're allowed to do things for the preparation of food, then he explains where we know it from and what the parameters are. Where do we know it from? But now the Alter Rebbe says any kind of activity which is related to food, that's called oichel nefesh, which the Torah permits, excuses. It's not 100% as if there's no law in the first place. And that's why he dafka picks up on the word ach, except. Except means that out of all those things that are forbidden, these have an exclusion that the Torah permitted them. Very much like the way we've explained Tosfos' view of Beis Hillel. So what can that teach you and I? Besides the fact, of course, that we can definitely pay close attention to the exact wording of all of our great sages, and especially the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch, who was so precise. By Ro'a Ba'avodas Hashem, there's a lesson for us. The fact that the Torah took things which are forbidden on Yom Tov and then allowed us those things, why? So we should be able to eat and enjoy Yom Tov. That highlights for us how important it is that we should have Simcha on Yom Tov, because the Torah was prepared to allow us leeway to break, to find a heter for activities that are fundamentally forbidden, but we're allowed to do them now in order to enjoy Yom Tov. Beinei Yodua. There's a fascinating thing that Alter Rebbe writes in Likutei Torah. That there's a glimmer of Yom Tov that extends into every single day of the year, even when it's an ordinary Tuesday. Now that we understand, if there's a glimmer of Yom Tov in every day of the year, and we understand that a fundamental principle of Yom Tov is the Simcha, then the Simcha of Yom Tov has to be felt to some extent every single day. That means besides, in addition to the fact that a person is supposed to celebrate every time they do a mitzvah, should be done with simcha shel mitzvah, the fact that we have a Yom Tov flavor to every single day, a little bit of the mitzvah of Yom Tov that affects every single moment of every single day. So therefore we have to have an element of that simcha of Yom Tov every single moment of every single day.